So Josh's nickname in college was Sugar. With the name Dennis, you can imagine I was called a lot of things, including oftentimes Dennis the Menace. But the one I prefer to be called is D-Nice. So listen up, because Sugar and D-Nice are about to take you to the back nine.
This is the back nine with Dennis Williams and Josh Mora.
Hey, Sugar, what's up?
D, I've never called you D-Nice.
D-Will?
I call you D.
D.
D-Dubs sometimes, for W.
See, I got so many. D-Dubs, yeah. D-Will, yeah.
Yeah, but I can always
D-Nice
tell.
D-Nice is just kind of fun.
It's funny, for sure.
It's the only one that possibly goes with Sugar.
Well, I can think of a few things, but they're not particular to you. To be fair, I've been called a lot of things other than Sugar. But
derivation, tell the audience.
So Sugar, my sophomore year in college, where I went to school, we had January off. There were no classes. There were individual classes that you could take for one credit or for pass-fail or something. But there were electives. But all the athletes, the winter sport athletes, had to be back. Everybody else just kind of drifted in. And so there were games and parties is pretty much what it came down to. And one night, we'd won a game, and we had a party at one of the hockey dorms. And I ended up dancing with the belle of the freshman class. I was a sophomore. Her name was Kate Davis. She married a guy who we went to school to. I think it was a year ahead of me. He was a soccer player. She was lovely. We never dated, but we were dancing that night. And at the time, my dancing style, I danced a little bit like a boxer. I held my hands kind of up, and I kind of juked my shoulders, so it looked like I was in a boxing defensive. And so the next day, a defensive position. And the next day at practice, it was right after Buster Douglas had knocked out Mike Tyson. You remember that in whatever year that was, 1990, on the front nine. And in the locker room the next day, the guys were giving me a hard time about it. And they said, hey, he looked like Buster Douglas out there. Let's call him Buster. And my good friend Matt Hulsizer said, no. He's Sugar Josh Mora, like Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah.
And that stuck. That's the derivation.
That is so good. Well, this is not a traditional episode. This is what we call the 19th hole, because we don't have a guest.
We've done it, but it's our traditional season end. But we don't have a guest.
Because it's the second, it's actually a tradition. Once there's more than one, it's a tradition. So
that's correct.
We have something very, very special to toast the end of season two.
Yeah.
This is called the Front Nine Bourbon, and it's from Bushwood Spirits.
Love that.
And here's to pouring this out. We can talk a little more about the season.
There is a back nine bourbon that he has,
yes,
correct?
And it was sold out, so he doesn't even have it anymore. Ooh.
Too early to clink.
Yes.
And I want a way smaller pour than that because I don't really drink. So okay. just a hint for
why
me.
Why is there a third glass here?
Did you forget about Janine already?
I'm just kidding. I knew why there was a third glass.
I know you
here.
Know.
Is she going to come in and get hers? Janine, are you going to come in
she
and
will.
Get hers?
I'm okay. Coming. I'm coming.
You didn't come now.
Yeah, that's plenty. That's a lot. Okay, thank you.
Okay, jeez.
Well, I don't drink. You know,
nobody can see how much I'm pouring.
I can see how much you're pouring, and I don't even want to drink as much as you poured.
Everybody know that I'll finish it. Cheers.
Salute.
Cheers.
Okay, so we'll clink again at the end of the show. Janine's drinking hers. You're going to have a sip? You have a sip. I'm going
to
wait.
You have to. It's bad luck to not at least take a sip.
Well, that's so good.
It's good, right?
If I were going to start drinking again, that would absolutely do it. That's delicious. It's the kind of, when I used to drink, I never drank, but when I used to have drinks, I preferred brown liquors like this. And I like this flavor palette, that kind of caramely butterscotch bourbon, because bourbon can come in a lot of different palettes.
Wow,
that's delicious. Look at the legs on that, too, on the alcohol on the glass. Wow.
Beautiful.
Fantastic. I've already forgotten what our season was. It was a great season. It was very different from the first season in ways. Whereas in the first season, I think it was really about establishing what this podcast is going to be, and mostly focused on pretty much two prongs of the back nine of life: second chances in relationships, second chances in careers. And in this season, we talked to nine different guests who came at the topic from different angles, maybe more narrow angles in a good way, to talk specifically about certain aspects of the back nine.
Yeah. And I just had so much more fun. I mean, I had a lot of fun in the first season connecting with everybody. But here's the other thing that I think happened in season two, and this is more semantics than it is guests. You and I have interviewed thousands of people. We joke about that, like our broadcast careers. It's a huge number. If you actually counted how many people we've interviewed, I'm still interviewing people. In my marketing job now, I'm interviewing people for testimonials, for television spots, constantly interviewing people, talking to people. What I realize is that you and I really found our voice this season, too, and not that we weren't good in the first season, but the polish came back of being able to talk to people, being able to glean the best aspects of what they were going to bring to the show in a very short time, because as people know, we deliberately keep the show under 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So I just think we were able to bring out the best in our guests, too. And we were in season one, but it just kind of went to a different level.
For our audience, I think the best interviews... We have interviews everywhere in our lives, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, in a way, dating, when you're going on a first couple of dates, is an interview. Certainly hiring people is clearly an interview. But the best interviews are conversations, right? So when your kids come home from school, when you say, how was your day? If they just say, fine, well, that you haven't sparked a conversation. You want to ask a question in a way that gets your kids to open up. The same about with this podcast. And the objective from... my viewpoint should be for our audience to feel not just that they're listening to us interview somebody, but that, and I know you feel this way too, it's that they feel like they are participating, not just observing, but participating in a conversation.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was, and our guests were good at articulating that and making you feel that, pulling you in this season.
Were there specific takeaways that you had from any of the guests that you wanted to revisit?
Well, it's interesting because you said they were all different, so I always try to bring a similar line through a lot of them.
Yeah, they can be different and have
through
lines.
And they were wildly different, but one of the things that a bunch of them jumped out at me was resilience, being able to bounce back from really bad situations. Probably the biggest on the list was Amanda, with the single mom who had three kids under four when her husband left her. And had to go to Sacramento with these three kids, and she's raised them more than a decade later. She's doing a single mom's podcast, single moms on Instagram, Brave Single Moms, and just an unbelievably inspiring story. Just somebody I met when I was in Sacramento during my time there, but another person in Sacramento, really resilient, Marcus Allen, coming back from two DUIs when he could have curled up in a ball in a hole and relaunched his career and is bigger than better than ever. Scott with Sherapy with the massive brain trauma he had and how he's bounced back. Just everybody in season.
Yeah. Carolyn, who lost her husband at a very young age, right?
Just go through the whole season and everybody's got that story of resilience. It's kind of the one thing that they all have on the back nine.
I found some commonality, and we'll get into the differences in a minute, but I found some commonality in the middle of the season. Episodes 13, 14, 15. That was Amanda, whom you referenced, Dan Moriarty, whom you didn't, and Carolyn Moore, whom we just did. And what's interesting about that is they all talked about, I think for the guys, the different kinds of people we may meet when we're single again, right? I mean, so Amanda as a single mom, Dan, who ended up marrying somebody who had lost her husband, who had two little girls, and Carolyn, who lost her husband as well. And thinking about that, we had talked about when we entered the dating scene again 6, 7, 8 years ago, I didn't have any expectations about what was going to be out there. I thought I'd meet people who had never been married. I guess I didn't really think about the fact that I might meet women who had been married and had children or who had lost their husbands. And there is, I think, an obligation on us as men, as single men, to meet them where they are and to understand that it's not like we were when we were dating when we were in our early 20s. These women have histories, not pasts. I don't mean it disreputably, but they have histories, right? They've had previous relationships, people that they started families with, people that they had entered into this whole contract of relationship that was meant to be for the end of their lives, as did we. And so it's important that we give them room to meet us where we are, to have had and to celebrate the happinesses that they had in those previous relationships, because even those that got divorced, there were still lots of good times and lots of happinesses. And if they have children and their ex-husbands are around and involved in their children's lives, that we're going to need to be a part of that larger structure for the children that are there. And so the takeaway is that as single men, divorced single men, there are roles that we have to play that are more than just as the paramour for our significant other. We'll be right back. Friends, I want to tell you about a really exciting company called Peat Learning. Peat is dedicated to helping organizations of all sizes optimize their training initiatives. They specialize in enabling the development of AI-powered courses, which can then be tailored for all kinds of corporate training needs. Peat Learning offers a suite of customizable and extremely cost-effective solutions that enable companies to deliver personalized workforce learning to their employees. Put simply, Peat is an indispensable partner for any evolving company. So visit Peat Learning at peat.com. That's P-E-T-E.com.
If you need a benefit auctioneer for your next fundraising gala, hire Eric Goodman, who's broken fundraising records all over the country. Josh and I have known Eric for over 30 years, and he's one of the most passionate, energetic, and hardworking people we know. Eric's consulting strategies and successful fundraising techniques is why he raised $1 million in 10 minutes at a recent event. Visit yourfundraisingteam.com to see a video of his work, testimonials, and then book with Eric today so your nonprofit can have a record-breaking night.
All right, back to the show.
I think that's absolutely right. I think that's so well said. I think the other continuity that I had in the season was, and we're going to really, I think, take this to another level in the next season, is health and wellness in the second half, right, of your life, yeah, on the back nine. Health and wellness, Julie got into that, Julie Schroer, in second episode of the season. It's one of those things that we're, like I said, we're going to really dive into, but this idea that you've got to really sort of move your body and be active. And that doesn't just mean like you're working out. We talk about that. But all of the other things that you have to have in your life that are balanced. We talk a lot about meditation and those kinds of things. Just the kinds of things that make you a healthier person on the back nine. I felt like we continued to discuss that a little bit too.
Yeah, it's physical health. It's mental health, right? Nick even talked about, Nick Bakay, who was our opener for season two, about mental health in the sense of, I remember one quote was that he said, all the things that came back to get him, the things that had negative impact, were things that he never saw coming. So for all the planning that we do, there are going to be good things that rise unexpectedly. There are going to be some bad things that rise unexpectedly. And so you really just can't worry about what's coming, what might come next. You plan because you do need to plan for the future. And you plan by preparing yourself by being in the best shape, to your point, physical, to my point, mental, so that you can deal with those things when they arise.
Well, it's funny because you said also said all those things that you worry about never happen either. They never
often
come to fruition.
Yeah, that's right.
They often never come to fruition. So, yeah, I mean, that's a huge factor for me because I kind of have that worrying tendency too. And I've kind of trained myself now to also think, you know what, you're going to worry about this and then you're going to get to the finish line on it. And all of that worry is going to be a waste of time. It's such a great lesson.
Well, and time is important too, right? I mean, because another common theme, and Marcus Ogden talked about this too, is the ability to be authentic lies in our ability to be present, right? This is the only moment that we have. Our past has prepared us for this moment. Our present may prepare us for the future, but it might not. So if you're in this moment, if you are present in this moment, that gives you the best opportunity to be your authentic self and to be in a great space of wellness and mental health to be able to appreciate all of the people who are around you and in your life. And that was something that Dan Moriarty talked about too, in reference to the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team, who he's had the privilege of being around, as have we, the notion that the people that are in your lives in moments in time, that moment matters. They may drift out of your life for a while, but if they come back, that moment matters too. And the space in between where you weren't with them, it doesn't matter for them in that relationship, but it matters that you had the previous touchstone, and it matters that you have your present touchstone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. I mean, and it's your own script, right? There's no right or wrong way to do it. You get to decide who is important to you in that moment. And some people fill a position in your life because you needed them at that time, and then you don't, and vice versa. Like we may provide a need for somebody in their moment when they needed us. And then that moves on. You move on from that. Those are relationship things. Those are lots of things. We also spent a little time, and we've actually weaved in talk about taking care of our kids. It just kind of pops up here and there, those kinds of things. And I've been really more, since we started this show, even more conscious of certain things that come out of this show in maybe in a quiet conversation, having a discussion with one of my, either my 26-year-old daughter or my 23-year-old daughter. I'll find myself bringing things up when they're around, and we see each other a few times a year, but when they're around about the show, because there's a nugget that I think can help them. Mm. And I think one of the things that might be missed sometimes is that there are things in the show, well, I don't expect a 20-something to listen to all these episodes. There are things that we can, as people on the back nine, take out of the show and help somebody on the front nine. We can really, there's things that you can pull out of this and talk to somebody, mentor them, whether it's your kid or somebody else, things that we get out of this show that can help people on the front nine.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think they're not always going to respond to them in the moment. And I think it's important to, when that happens, to put ego aside, right? And our goal, especially as parents, but as mentors too, is to show up. I've said that before in this podcast, and then let it go. Our kids especially, even if they don't react to it, even if they don't do what respond in the way that we think they should, they'll hear it. And it may not mean anything to them when they're 23 or 26, but it might mean something to them when they're 33 or 36,
sure,
or 43 or 46. And they'll remember, my dad said that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely important. Some other things about the season that I remember. I mean, the first episode was really hard to beat. It was so fun having Nick Bakay on. And, I think about how far we go back with him, having met him over 30 years ago. Just incredible. And then, I think one of the things that is profound for me, and we've talked about it a few times, is the fact that you got to match your partner with sense of humor. When he's been married 30 years, yeah, with a woman who he would tell you is funnier than he is. So I think when you match somebody with sense of humor, it's such an important part of a relationship. And I brought up the story about making people watch the Sebastian Maniscalco's comedy sketches, his stand-up, because I wanted people to know if you matched my sense of humor. That was my litmus test for a second date.
Yeah.
Come on, let's watch some stand-up comedy. Let's see. And I think that, I mean, that's an extreme example of trying to test somebody, but it worked.
Yeah. See, I don't think it's that extreme at all. At this point in our lives, we know a lot about ourselves, right? We know what's important to us. Gary Goldstein also talked about this.
Yeah.
In addition to telling an unbelievable story, the backstory of the casting
of Pretty Woman,
which he was the producer
for. Yeah, if you haven't heard that episode, go back and listen.
It's so good, and he's terrific. But he talked, I think about his life, right? Before he became a movie producer, he was an attorney and decided that wasn't right for him. Then he was a movie producer for 20-plus years and decided that didn't work for him. And now he's an author and a public speaker, and he's working with NASA on a big project. And one of his points was, you always talk about starting at yes, and we do start at yes. But there are also times when you need to know that the best yes is no, because no will yield, yes, to a different yes.
Right.
And so his knowledge of, or his understanding of the importance of no as well as the importance of yes, I think is something that I took away from this season. And I think it relates to what you were talking about with Nick.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. That you realize where your battle lines are drawn and what you do have to say no to. I do often say start at yes, but that also means knowing yourself to know when you have to get to know.
That's right.
That's a line in the sand. So it's an important... They're not really that far apart. Sounds
they're
like
not.
They are. They're actually the same.
I think they're exactly the same. I mean, I think if you know that it's really important to you that you share not only a sense of humor and a level of a sense of humor, but a specific kind of humor, and that's a deal breaker for you if they don't, that matters. If there is a job situation where suddenly your path and the company's paths are diverged, and I speak from personal experience from this season on that, it's okay to say, all right, well, we need to move in separate directions now. You need to know where those deal breaking moments are. And that's a secret to happiness on the back nine of life.
Okay, one other thing I will remember from this season is that on the basically on the 5-year anniversary of me quitting my corporate career and starting my own business, you embarked on this new journey, having been in the corporate world at Full Sail University for a really long time. Super proud of you to take that jump, and I know how hard it is. I know you're still in the middle of it. You're weighing all the options. You're going to figure it out. This podcast is going places, so we've got that going for us. But it's a big step. We'll always remember this season as the time when you made this major transition in your life. No matter what happens, we can always look back and we'll know that these shows sort of were the timestamp on a big transition for you.
Yeah, and these transitions happen for all of us. And I would like to take 10 seconds here to say that my time at Full Sail, almost a full 14 years, was fantastic. And I have nothing but best wishes for everyone there, and I'm grateful for my time. I've grown a lot because of that. And it was time to move on. And it's interesting to think about that in a few weeks or months, we'll be looking back at this time and thinking back to season two of the Back Nine as that was a transformational moment. I mean, I feel it now, but it'll be interesting to revisit that with perspective of whatever it is that's coming.
Yeah, and I think it's been great for you to have this because it does weave in a lot of things that remind you how to navigate the Back Nine. There's some things here, and we get to talk about it, and we've been through similar life experiences, and everybody's heard how similar our lives are. But yeah, it's pretty wild. I don't even know what to say.
It's a living Petri dish right here, maybe. Maybe that'll be a new nickname for me. I can go, living, don't call me no, Petri or
I like,
PD.
I like sugar. Works. I like sugar.
Yeah.
I
can always
sugar.
Tell where people know me from. If they call me Sugar, I know they're a college friend.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So
very good.
Yeah.
So I guess the next episode will be making the turn.
Yeah,
we can talk about season three. We don't really need to get into that now, although we're excited about it. We keep kind of taking it to another level. We've already got some great guests on the way.
And one of those guests, we're going to do a tribute to season two, thanks to him.
Yes.
And he is responsible. I'll just leave it at this tease. He is responsible for what's in our glasses.
Yep.
There is a name nomenclature that connects, and we're going to...
He has a great Back Nine story. We're going to talk to him in season three.
He has a great and literal Back Nine story. But for now, let's close the books on season two and toast with this. My friend, it was a real pleasure.
Here's to season two.
Here's to season two, and thanks to Janine and Olivia and the whole team.
Thank you, team. Thank you, Janine. Toasting you.
Let's taste this. Oh, God, that's good.
So good.
So good. To many more.
Yep.
Thanks, friends. Thanks for listening.
We're really happy that you could join us today on the Back Nine podcast, and we're really trying to build a community.
Yeah, so please not only listen, subscribe, follow us, download, share with your friends that you found something in our community here.
We really, really appreciate everybody who's downloaded even a single episode and shared the time with us. We know your time is valuable. Please also give us a 5-star review if you can. Thanks so much.
So I've mentioned Three Bridges Consulting. What they do is they market your company. They lead the creative. They find the audience. What they produce, commercials, social media content, possibly even documentaries. It's long form. It's short form. One recent success story, working with a home services company in Chicago, a company that refaces cabinets. They launched a campaign in January. They had 5 times the revenue of their previous January and $1 million more in revenue than in any prior month after they launched this campaign. Once again, it's Three Bridges Consulting. The number 3, bridgesconsulting.co. The Back Nine is lovingly organized by Janine Stella and recorded at Pixelworks Studios in Delray Beach, Florida.